Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Since you know there are 7 weeks of Easter, this being the fourth Sunday, tells us that we're at the middle, or kind of like the peak of the Easter season. And right in the middle of celebrating still the glorious resurrection of Jesus and now waiting for that ascension day of him into heaven, we have a comforting picture that stands out. Jesus is the good shepherd. The shepherd and the sheep theme, you see, is as ancient as you can get it in the Christian church. It's almost, it is as ancient as the Christian fish. And so we find this theme of shepherd and sheep scattered throughout all of both the Old and the New Testament. And so, for example, a really obvious one, David was a shepherd before he became king and was called by God to care for his people Israel. And you know, one of the greatest psalms, we use them especially at a funeral, but we said it today, is Psalm 23. You don't have to think too hard. Who wrote the psalm? David. It's not by mistake. The greatest of kings, the most glorious of those in the Old Testament for Israel's sake, is the one who starts off the psalm how? The Lord is my shepherd. This is a humble king, not some king who had it all in himself. This is a king who knew who really was the one who even led him. And so likewise, Peter in the New Testament, we know this pretty well too, after being forgiven by the risen Jesus, was sent out to be a shepherd. And we know this because 3 times Jesus told Peter, what? Feed my sheep. Peter told that to future pastors, to have the same care for their churches. He says it in 1 Peter chapter 5, shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do. And now, of course, the greatest place where the shepherd theme comes out with Jesus is what we hear in the gospel reading, John chapter 10. Every year, the fourth Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year, John chapter 10. Just different verses of the chapter. Strangely enough, these comforting words of the gospel that are so clear today are at the same time spoken within a not-so-comforting circumstance or a context. You got to always ask yourself, where the gospel seems so bright and brilliant, what's going on? And most of the time, bad things are happening when Jesus is speaking the gospel the clearest way possible. And so, you see, he says these words about being the good shepherd 6 months, in the fall basically, 6 months before he is to go die on the cross. And likewise, he is speaking these words before the Pharisees and the other Jews. And you know how that's going to be like. It's a powder keg waiting to go off. Matter of fact, the verse right after the last verse of Jesus speaking here, they all have a bunch of division and upsetness happen. You see, Jesus pierces through the darkness out of love. And he uncovers what men hide to finally share the truth of the gospel. And so unlike false shepherds, Jesus the good shepherd has proven his death and life is for the sheep. And so Jesus describes a desperate situation that cries out for salvation. When you really think about it, it's very desperate when in this kind of depiction Jesus gives. There's sheep, there's wolves, there's hirelings, that's it. It's all bad. All right? Not good news in all those terms. The first one, the sheep, is an animal last on our list, unless you're a sheep person, right? And then maybe that may be on the top of your list. But most people, that's on the bottom, unless you're going out to eat. Yet those who believe in Jesus, who believe in him, he says, and he sees them as sheep. You could say by baptism, Jesus makes us sheep. And so this is opposite in the way the world operates. Very opposite. And here's a perfect example. what school mascot lifts up the sheep? Right? I mean, you got Lake Park here, and I know you got JCC and Jackson, and what's their mascot? Wolves? That doesn't fit too well in our text for, you know, what Jesus is trying to preach about. I know in Worthington, you got the Trojans, and that was what I came from in my high school, you know, Mighty Soldiers back long ago. And Spirit Lake, what is that? Is that the Chiefs, or is it Indians? All right, I wonder how long that's going to last in the PC society, right? But the point is very simple. All mighty pictures of things, right? And I suppose you could think about, my wife had to correct me yesterday because she knows sports better than me, but you had to think about the St. Louis Rams, right? You could throw that out there as a possibility, but of course, look at the picture and the annual sheep on there. Big ram, tough looking, right? No one wants to use the word sheep. Yet that is what we are in Christ. St. Paul, the mightiest of apostles, the one who really sent the church into the Western society that we have, he makes it very clear. For your sake, we're being killed all the day long. That's martyrdom, okay? And he goes on, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Of course, sheep are vulnerable in many ways because there's a threat, right? And the threat's very simple. The wolf. And the wolf has one objective. It's not too hard to figure out. The wolf is to kill and devour. Unlike the need to herd, right? The wolf has a natural instinct to hunt. The alpha among this pack, as you know, is the devil. And plenty serve his purpose. Certainly those in authority suppress and persecute Christians throughout this world, and you see it happening in every age, but especially in our age. And addictions and pleasures can consume the sheep with much poison, right? As well as enticing cults and false religions and spiritualities sneak to snuff out faith in the gospel. St. Paul even warns, before he's going to die, St. Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. You see that happening very clearly today within the Church of Christ. Many things rising up that are being twisted, that are not true shepherds that seek to speak the truth of the good shepherd. And logically then, these two extremes that we just heard, wolves and sheep, logically you want to offset the imbalance is to have a what? A shepherd, right? A go-between, an in-between thing. Unfortunately, Jesus, though, brings up the hireling, last of all, who plays it safe and takes no risk. They can look good at first, but at the sight of a threat, things change. You know their true colors, don't you? To see the wolf means only to think of self. Jesus spoke this against Israel's leaders, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He always was speaking these words to them. They pretended to care, and most of the people truly thought they did care, but were in it, though, in the end, for worldly gain and glory. Judas is a perfect example among the own apostles, right? He wanted to help the poor, but in the end, what was he really doing? Pocketing some of the money for himself. No sheep makes this kind of a judgment call, but God sees it clearly. Jesus tells the truth. All church leaders, whatever capacity, but especially pastors, have the warning. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. And so Jesus proves himself the good shepherd that saves and never scatters, but always calls the sheep to him. First, he chose to hold the title of shepherd, didn't he? We do not choose to be sheep. You didn't choose that. But Christ made us that by baptism. However, being sheep comes from the better fact that Jesus has chosen to be the good shepherd. I didn't want to be a sheep, but Jesus says he who believes in me is a sheep, so I guess I am. That doesn't give me much comfort until I know that Jesus has chosen to be my shepherd. He created this bond of love. saying, I know my own and my own know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father and I lay down my life for you. And he knows you by name. And that's what his promise was in baptism. That's the good news when we face even death itself. That is the hope we have from him. When doubts over this bond of love rises up from our sin, and it's always there, take heart that nothing can break how Jesus has laid down his life for you. It may feel like it's falling apart, but Jesus has been faithful. His care toward the sheep is personal, so much so that in your pastor's voice or in the pastors who are called to serve his church, you are to hear Jesus. The I is not me, it is Christ who says, I forgive you. And that's for the sheep who indeed repent and want to hear good news because they feel the pain of sin and their own shame. Jesus more than seeks to bind up the brokenhearted, though. He fights with one objective in mind. The wolf has an objective to kill and devour, and Jesus has one objective in mind, too. It's to silence the wolf, but it seems very foolish in the way he does it. Here's why. Dangerous things around here, when you get a coyote or something around here that's a dangerous predator, you don't want it around, what do? You get your gun and you shoot it. Okay? Making sure you're keeping the laws and not going to get in trouble, right? But mostly it's pretty simple. The shepherd, Jesus says, doesn't kill the wolf. He dies for the sheep. Rather than kill the wolf, Jesus alone removes what makes the wolf so threatening. The wolf's threat is what? Death. An early church father writes these words, Jesus did this, died on the cross, to make a new arrangement. He might, although captured himself by the cross, capture the devil, the author of death, that by dying for his sheep, he might open the way for them to conquer death. The sacrifice by God's Son lets none be snatched or scattered by the good shepherd, you see? When death is removed, the devil has nothing left to do. He can scare you with it, but his teeth are taken away. The fierceness has been put to shame by the faithfulness of Jesus of the cross for us. So to receive this good news at the Lord's Supper, then, is what we have. And it means struggling sheep survive in him. And it means the blemished sheep of sin are whole by him. And the slain sheep will live with him. And so Jesus protects his sheep by what he says. He speaks for any to listen to him. The safeguard against hirelings and false shepherds is his word. The church appears scattered by many an antichrist, as was promised to happen in the latter days, and it has many false doctrines floating around. Yet Luther says it very well. Thank God a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. Unwilling sheep not listening to this good shepherd can only blame themselves when they fall prey to the wolf. It means then that preaching cannot be about my self-interests, but to hear God speak his law and gospel. It means forgiveness is not an empty word that we throw around in our society smiling and saying, we all love everybody, but really we're stabbing each other in the back and really we don't love anybody. But it's to hear Jesus' true love that removes my sinful life, to have a good life in him, to have paths of righteousness, a good way, not a way of death. And it means teaching, feeding the sheep, is not an option. But for me to know true doctrine versus the devil's lies. And we need to be fed so much today. You could go easy and have a very simple diet long ago when the culture was safe and things were so stable, it seemed like. But today we need much food. We need to kind of be gluttons to have this goodness of Jesus for all that he says. The safeguard for the sheep is for faithful pastors to deliver Jesus' word. And Jesus has rescued us from death, given abundant life by forgiveness, and remains to be the great shepherd of his church. This is the promise we have. No one else. Pastors come, pastors go. Pastors sometimes are good and pastors are sometimes bad, but Jesus remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever for you. His sacrifice is good for each sheep, and even now goes about shaping the whole flock, his church. He shapes that special flock. And so John said today, by this we know love. So whatever you think you know love as, doesn't matter. This is what he says. By this we know love. How? That he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. The comfort we have as sheep is for others to have the same kind of good shepherd. This is a very simple thing. This is like the sheep speaking good news to people who are trying to act like they're some other tough thing in life, when really Jesus says, I have chosen you before the foundations of the world, and you are chosen to be sheep because I'm the shepherd. Anything less doesn't make me a shepherd for you. And this is the good news we share. And it cannot be forced or have manipulation or some incentive program, but love. And it's love not for merely a person who we love this way, but love that knows and believes in a promise. And what's the promise? That Jesus says, others will listen to my voice. His voice alone is what's speaking for the sheep to follow him. Unlike false shepherds, Jesus, the good shepherd, has proven his death and life is for you, the sheep. Since this shepherd remains, the sheep can rest as they listen to him. And that's what makes a Sabbath day. That's how you honor the third commandment. That's how you have honor God and keep him holy. Not because of Sunday, but because we have his word. And where his word is taught in truth and purity, so his sheep can sing hallelujahs and they can say amen, because the good shepherd indeed speaks for you. Amen.